And welcome to this IT Showcase webinar. I am Rekha Nair, a Business Program Manager with the IT Showcase team. And today with me, I have two experts who are here to discuss how Microsoft IT implemented Windows Hello for Business. So hello and welcome both Demetrius and Mike. Why don't you just introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Demetrius. I work for Microsoft IT, our internal IT department, and I've been tasked in the last few months for deploying Windows Hello for Business internally at Microsoft.
And I'm Mike Stevens. I'm a Senior Program Manager with the Windows Hello product group.
Welcome again. So before we get started with this session, I do want to remind everyone who has joined us today that you can ask us questions during the session. We also have some time towards the end dedicated for just questions, but you don't have to wait until then. You can send us your questions anytime, and I'll ask you them as they come as well. We also have a couple of questions for you on Bing Pulse, so please do take a moment to answer that. And we will also have this webinar available to you in a few weeks on demand. So if you have any colleagues who you would like to share this content with, please feel free to do so. So with that, Mike, why don't we get started?
Sure. So today's agenda, we're going to start off with just a basic Windows Hello for Business overview and kind of give everybody a feel for what that is. And once we're done with that overview, we intend to, I'll hand it over to Demetrius, and he'll actually talk about the specifics that Microsoft IT did in their deployment of Windows Hello for Business.
Good. And we've done this for almost a year. You said you've been on the project for almost a year. And we've done a couple of deployments already. So very excited to hear what it is, Demetrius. Take it away.
So the first thing we want to do is let everybody know who's out there watching is that Windows Hello for Business is not necessarily new. It's been a little bit of a rebranding structure here to where it was formerly called Microsoft Passport or Microsoft Passport for Work. So we have now actually rebranded it to Windows Hello for Business so that it matters, so that it means more. More fitting to our Windows Hello brand. So with that, we first introduced the deployment model that Microsoft IT deployed in November of last year with our Windows 10 November update. And the whole point of this is to move people away from passwords. Passwords are weak. Passwords are not something we want people to do. They're replayable. So the idea here is to give them a strong user credential that isn't replayable that they can use and then tie it to some really cool features like biometrics. So the strong point of what makes Windows Hello really cool and beneficial is that we use keys, and those keys are protected by a security device known as a TPM in most modern computers. So this way, those keys are generated on that computer. They can't move to another computer. So they're secured in that computer. So if we make one on this computer, it can't be replayed to another one, and that's the security property we have. But the great thing about it is the user experience. It's just like as if you were using a password, or if people are familiar with like virtual smart cards or physical smart cards, it works the same way that way as well. So again, some of the great features about it is with passwords, we have this pass the hash attack that has been ongoing that Microsoft has been completely trying to drive out of the market. And so moving to strong keys helps us accomplish that. The other great thing about it is in the hybrid environment, which is what Microsoft IT deployed, is we can do a single sign into both resources in Azure Active Directory and the on-prem Active Directory. So the user would sign in with their Windows Hello, and they're instantly authenticated to both, and they should not see very many prompts when they go to either resource.
And I've been using it for months now, and it's been a great experience so far. So,
yeah, it's really cool to just sign in and then be able to get your work done. And then the great thing, the added value, is if you have a camera or a fingerprint sensor, you're not typing in a PIN. At that point, you're actually using facial recognition or fingerprint recognition, and then you just sign in that way, which is a really cool feature to have for the end user makes it signing in. And we also allow it in Microsoft IT, and I think, Demetrius, you're going to cover this a little bit more, is we use it for VPN. So you can actually, when you sign in with Windows Hello, that can also do your authentication to VPN as well. So it's a really cool feature. We're really glad to have it in Microsoft IT, and it's really working out pretty good for us.
And great points because, you know, it's so much of that user experience, right? It's across all the different resources that we try to access in a day. And so, yeah, I've enjoyed it so far. Great.
So let's move on with service components and how we actually deploy that at Microsoft IT. So three main pillars are the directory infrastructure, which consists of Active Directory and Azure Active Directory, mm-hmm. The PKI infrastructure, which we already had deployed at Microsoft. So we leverage this one in order to simplify our deployment. And of course, the management piece is where the actual enrollment happens for the PIN and the certificate.
So in terms of transition, though, so we've had passwords, we've had smart cards, and then now it's kind of a natural evolution to the next type of authentication because we've had them together.
Correct, yes. And we've been using physical and virtual smart cards for a long time at Microsoft. So, and as Mike said, it was a natural evolution for us to go from virtual smart card, for mm-hmm. example, to it's Hello for Business. So it was a natural evolution because to the user it seems kind of the same. There's mm-hmm. no real difference other than the icon that's being used to differentiate the credential. Speaking of the service component, let's delve into directory, mm-hmm. PKI infrastructure and management a little bit. So we've been using the on-premises Active Directory that we already have, of course. And we have used also Azure AD Connect in order to connect our on-premises Active Directory mm-hmm. to Azure Active Directory, which is required for a lot of things. One of this is the device registration. Mm-hmm. So our company devices are registered with Azure AD. And there is synchronization also between on-premises Active Directory and Azure Active Directory. On PKI infrastructure, we also have two components. We have the certificate authority component and the registration authority component. Mm-hmm. So the registration authority component is handled via NDES, which is a service that can be found on Windows Server, which basically handles the certificate issuance and renewal on behalf of the clients. And the back end, we can say our certification authority, AD Certificate Services, handles the actual issuance of the certificate to the user. Mm-hmm. Of course, this is done via management interface, via management infrastructure, which includes Microsoft Intune and Configuration Manager 1606, coupled with the CRP component, Certificate Registration Point component, which is actually the component that handles the whole certificate enrollment end-to-end for the user. Of course, there's some group policy that handles some components of the PIN policy. Mm-hmm. And we're enforcing also TPM usage, which we're going to cover also later, as well as some PIN length and complexity requirements that we're using in Microsoft IT. Yep. Let's see how the service works. So devices are first registered with Azure AD in the background using a GPO. We've been using a GPO for a long time to do that for all Microsoft IT devices. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a component that's not really visible to the user. Mm-hmm. It happens in the background. The user doesn't know anything and doesn't need to know anything.
This is like a preparation for...
Correct, yeah. This is a prerequisite, yes, for devices.
Okay. It's
prereq.
And then we have, again, using a GPO, we deploy Configuration Manager. Mm-hmm. Configuration Management Client 1606 at this point, which mm-hmm. is also required for Windows Hello for Business, the latest version of Configuration Manager. So the client itself gets deployed by GPO. The client lands at the user's device. There's a policy, actually two policies that come down to the client, and these policies are the ones that are being used to handle the whole issuance piece of the PIN, of the Windows Hello for Business PIN. So Configuration Manager, after the policy comes down, checks for prerequisites. We're going to see later on there are some prerequisites for the client to be able to get a PIN. Mm-hmm. And, of course, after the prerequisites are met, enables PIN creation. So at next sign-in, the user will see a whole a full window experience, which will require PIN enrollment, full screen experience, which will require a PIN enrollment. So the user will choose the PIN at this point. And after the PIN is set, in the background there's going to be certificate enrollment happening, where the certificate, the needed certificate, which, as we said, looks like a sparker to the user, is going to come down to the device. And this is the end of the workflow, where the user now has a PIN and associated certificate with it.
So there's something that happens in the background, and then there's something that the user has to do.
Correct. So the user experience is mostly where he's asked about the pin to create a new pin.
Yeah.
So there's a window saying, you need to send your pin now.
Mm-hmm.
You click OK. There's a pin window coming up. Say, you just put your pin, you enter your new pin there twice, and that's it.
Yeah, that's the provisioning flow. So what Demetrius is talking about is basically when all these prerequisites are met, the user gets this really nice, fresh provisioning flow right at the time when they log in. It's very contextual, so it's not jarring in any way. And it has a nice message that says, hey, your organization wants you to create a PIN.
Yeah.
You type in your PIN. It'll then go ahead and do some key registration in the background, like Demetrius said, and then you'll get this certificate. And so the one thing I wanted to point out is the reason why we use PIN is PIN is a Windows Hello modality. PIN is the gesture that you provide to unlock access to that key.
Yeah.
PIN is the most common modality because it doesn't require hardware, a specific hardware.
Right.
You can use biometrics, and then in that case, you would use your biometrics, but your PIN is a fallback mechanism. So like if for some reason you cut your finger or so forth, you can't sign in with your biometrics at that point. You can still fall back and use your PIN, and you're not going to password.
Right.
So let's see some lifecycle management information. What happens with renewals? There is a lot of pain points in renewals for virtual smart cards, physical smart cards, pop-ups, and all this stuff. This doesn't really apply to Windows Hello for Business. Renewals happen automatically in the background again. Users don't have to do really anything. So the user experience is great in the renewal front. So this is one of the good things we've seen in Microsoft IT with Hello for Business, that users don't really have to care when their credential expires, if they have to do something, really nothing. The user just sits there and their certificate, the associated certificate gets renewed, they have to do.
And that's also the same experience that we had when we had smart cards, right? I mean, you'd have, so it's pretty natural for people, if you're used to that, then you kind of just stay on.
Actually, the smart card experience was a little bit more disruptive because what would happen is it would ask you for your PIN.
Yeah.
So you would actually get a balloon in the background, on the bottom, this wonderful balloon that people will click on, and then it says, hey, we need to enroll you a new cert, or renew your cert, I think is what it said.
Yeah.
And then it would ask you for your PIN.
Right.
In this particular case, what Demetrius is talking about is we've kind of removed that away from the virtual smart card to where the certificate just renews on the user. They don't even get interrupted in their workflow.
Oh, a better experience,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's
so
a better experience. Yes.
We do have one question here. So how do you tie Microsoft Hello into applications that do not support PKI authentication?
How do you tie Windows Hello into applications that do not support PKI application? So in this particular case, Windows Hello would not be able to tie into those applications. What we do have for the applications that do support, like a smart card authentication, Windows Hello has kind of what we have two ways to interface in it. It has the Windows Hello interface where you can get a biometric prompt.
Mm-hmm.
But we also knew that we needed to be backwards compatible with a lot of applications that knew how to use smart cards.
Right.
So we also have a way to where Windows Hello can be seen by applications as a smart card.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an application and it knows how to interface with a smart card, Windows Hello will pop up and look like a smart card.
Right.
You won't be able to use biometrics in that in that particular scenario, but you would still be able to type in a PIN very similar to smart card.
Okay.
But as far as just regular key authentication in that particular case, Windows Hello doesn't. Things have to be enlightened in order for that authentication to work.
Okay. All right.
Moving on for lifecycle management, revocation. Well, basically, revocation is the disablement of the user certificate, the stopping of using a certificate because of some kind of usually security issue.
Yeah.
We don't want the user to have anymore the ability to log in with a PIN. So revocation is something that we can do as well as we could do with physical smart cards and virtual smart cards. This happens again at the certificate authority service, or we can also do that through Configuration Manager, SSCM. Reporting and metrics. So there have been, we have been using Hello for Business for the last 1 year, and so we wanted at Microsoft IT to see how it progresses, you know, the success rates, if the users have any issues, if something's going wrong, if we can, you know, understand what the small amount of users that could not get a Windows Hello for Business credential. So what we did was we created custom reports. Actually, we first created custom telemetry that let us understand what these issues were, at what point, and we could then go back to product group and, you know, ask for some help on these cases. So these were actually very useful because it uncovered a lot of issues that we, together with the PG, we fixed, and now the experience has become even better in the recent version Windows 10 anniversary update. We also have custom reports coming out of the telemetry, which shows us success rates, shows us the amount of users in each update and how each update handles success. So of course we see better success with the recent Windows 10 anniversary update.
Right, and I noticed that too in terms of just the experience. Now I did enroll prior to the anniversary update, of course, but yeah, post that, I mean, it's been certainly very different because the number of issues versus what it is right now, right?
Yeah, I think the anniversary update has been a great success for Windows Hello for Business. We've made quite a bit of optimizations in our TPM performance and how we access the TPM, how we use it. We've done some great work with the Configuration Manager team in optimizing the certificate enrollment and getting that into a little bit more timely fashion and so forth. And so, and then we've bettered the admin experience, I think, deploying the latest version with a 16, the anniversary update is a lot easier.
And to finish with reporting and metrics, you also can get reports out of Configuration Manager as well as Intune. They have reports, they have databases where you can just look into some amount of the information we're also collecting. The difference with our telemetry is that our telemetry is handled directly at the client level. So we have more information on the client level other than, you know, just for the certificate enrollment parts or, you know, the PIN creation parts.
Okay.
So let's look at the deployment we had at Microsoft. So we rolled out Hello for Business, I think it was called Passport for Work back then, to 100,000 plus users. At once, so it was a global enablement. And all employees, as well as vendors who had a virtual smart card, a physical smart card, or phone off, could enroll for a PIN because, as we're going to see later, we require two-factor authentication. Because this is a strong credential, we require two-factor authentication for a user in order to get that credential. And we cover, of course, all enrollment scenarios we have here at Microsoft, which include, of course, domain joined devices, Azure Active Directory joined devices, as well as Intune enrolled devices. So I like bring your own device scenarios as well as, you know, court scenarios. So let's take a look at the architecture we have at Microsoft for Windows Hello for Business. As we can see, we have Windows 10 anniversary update devices, whether domain joined, as I said, or not, that are registered in Azure Active Directory, which in turn is connected, is using Azure Active Directory Connect to connect with our on-premises Active Directory. Of course, we're also using ADFS for federation, as well as you're using application proxy. Here is the configuration management part. You can see that we're using Configuration Manager with a specific Windows Hello for Business policy. So Configuration Manager is right now at version 1606. We've been deploying a specific Windows Hello for Business policy that enables users to get a PIN and the associated certificate. And we're also using the certificate registration point feature of Configuration Manager that lets users actually, lets the system actually handle certificates to users. And of course, we're also using Intune for bring your own device scenarios with, of course, again, a certificate policy that deploys the certificates on behalf of the users. And here's the backend infrastructure we have, the public key infrastructure. We're using an issuing certification. Actually, we're using more than one issuing certificate authorities. That's in the back end for the issuance of certificates, and we're using NDES with a specific Configuration Manager policy module that handles the issued certificates to the CRP, to the users after it has given the thumbs up from the CRP endpoint of Configuration Manager.
Now, where is the PIN complexity set?
The PIN complexity right now is set in the Windows Hello for Business policy. So in the new version of 1606 of Configuration Manager, you can set all PIN complexity on PIN complexity policies in that specific Configuration Manager Configuration Manager policy. So this one handles everything from the enablement of the credential itself. So if the user is going to get the credential, up to policies, and if the TPM is going to be used. So everything is in that policy. That's one-stop shop for the administrator to set the policy for Windows Hello for Business.
Okay. So we have a quick question here. Are there two management consoles to manage certificate renewals and revoking?
I don't know about the renewal part. Just happens. It's the way that you configure certificates in our certificate services. The template, you have the lifetime on the certificate template, and then you can set a renewal period. And so what happens is the Windows 10 client looks at the renewal period, and then basically when you get in that renewal period, that's when the Windows 10 just tries to go out and try to renew the certificate on your behalf. We can't renew a certificate once it's expired. You need a new one. So we want to do everything we can to get that renewal. But on the revocation, I know you said that you could do it through Configuration Manager.
Correct.
I know you can do it through the CA.
Yeah, correct.
And that's nothing new. You've always been able to do it there. So maybe, is there a special interface in Config Manager that does it?
Probably the second half of the question would help with that, I guess. In other words, I have Config Manager and Intune Management consoles or portals, or is this combined in 1607? I guess we probably don't have a clear answer to that, but in terms of, you said, you can do it in the CA, that's for
the
certain.
The CA is where you have to do it, because you need to know what CA issued that certificate, and then you need to look that certificate up, and then it's literally like a right-click on the CA management console.
Right.
So basically, you can do it at both points.
Yeah.
At the end, it's a certificate authority that's going to handle revocation.
Right.
Either if you do it from Configuration Manager or from Certificate Authority, it's a certificate authority that's going to actually do the revocation at the end.
Right.
And if you want to do it through Configuration Manager or Intune, you have to give the specific permissions for the servers that handle this on the Configuration Manager or Intune point to the Certificate Authority, the specific permissions needed for revocation.
And just an additional note here, so can you provide a link or other resources around Config Manager CRP? And I think we have some additional links.
Yeah,
we will post it actually throughout the presentation. So I think we have quite a few, in fact.
Yep. Yeah,
so we will certainly post that and make it available. All right. But thanks for putting this together as a diagram, by the way. I mean, there were so many components. It can look like a lot of moving parts.
Correct.
Right? And then just trying to put that all together. So thank you for doing that.
Yep. And a few minutes ago, we spoke about how the user experience is. So we have a screen also of how the PIN issuance experiences and how the actual usage is. So if we look at the issues workflow, you can see that we have a full screen window that says set up a PIN.
So this is what the user sees when,
This is the beginning of the provisioning flow. So this is all the orchestration from the last slide Demetrius has put through, and it's now enabled. The machine has received that enable Windows Hello for Business policy on the next sign-in. This is what the user will see right after they sign into Windows.
Right.
Correct. So in Windows 10 Anniversary Edition, if you have met all the prerequisites, there are two ways that this screen can come up. Mm-hmm. Either you sign out of your device, and then at the next sign-in, you have a full screen experience using setup a PIN, or if you have all the prerequisites again, you can go to the settings of the accounts, and you will see that you're now enabled to get a new PIN, and you can just click the button and start the PIN workflow.
Oh, good. So you can actually do it even from the account settings itself.
Correct. Yes, that's I think a new feature from the Windows 10 Anniversary Update onwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just that the settings part is a little bit buried.
Correct.
So it's really hard for users to see sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's easier for an organization just to roll that out, and at the next logon, the user can just go and create his or her own PIN.
Yeah.
So that's for the issuance part. From the usage part, you can see that I have included a window here that you can see. It's just very easy. It's like a pop-up, the same pop-up you would get for your password, your physical or virtual smart card. It's just the icon, the dial pad icon that's different.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, everything else looks the same as it would with any physical or virtual smart card or even a password. You can see there are some details in the screenshot that, for example, the name of the user, the subject of the certificate is being shown, the issuer, which is the issuing CA, as well as the validity of the certificate. And of course, if you click OK, you have to enter your PIN.
And how long does this take? Just doing this little activity.
Oh, well, it's nothing. I mean, it just comes up. Yeah. You just put your PIN and
it's, and just remember your PIN after that. Hmm? Yeah.
Yep.
So, after we, as we said before, we had a lot of telemetry for us to understand what were the issues that we were having with some users getting a Windows Hello for Business credential. And we have learned a lot, and this is something we want to share. Mm-hmm. So let's start seeing from the client side, from the device side, what were the issues that we were usually seeing with Hello for Business. A lot of TPM issues, and this is not new. This is not new because we already had similar issues with virtual smart cards. We have a big deployment here in virtual smart cards at Microsoft IT, so we already have, which of course is the same in the sense that it does require a TPM, like Hello for Business policy here at Microsoft also requires the device to have a TPM in order to be deployed. So we already had this issue in the past. This is not something new, but I'm just going to mention them here.
Something to look out for, right? Because and it's a dependency.
Correct. It's
and
a dependency.
It's a point of failure.
You know, it's something, especially in TPM 1.2, OEMs handle the most of the hardware part. You know, lockouts, all this stuff. These are not things we can handle with TPM 1.2. So sometimes the user's at the mercy of, you know, a lockout period or something, some things that we cannot centrally manage or, you know, do anything about.
Right.
So some of the issues we saw with TPMs are the TPMs were just missing. So we had devices with no TPM. So these cannot actually handle Hello for Business policy that we set at Microsoft IT. Mm-hmm. Or the TPMs were there but not initialized. So for example, if you have a TPM in your device, you still have to go through the BIOS settings and enable it. Sometimes it doesn't come enabled from the OEM. So you have to go enable it. Sometimes it was not done. So this kind of initial issues with TPM. Other issues we faced were lockout policies. As I said, TPM 1.2 doesn't help too much about lockout. The time you need to have your device in a usable state again is not something we can really manage, cannot really do anything about it. TPM 2.0 helps in that respect. This is more now, the policy is something that you can expect. There are specific lockout periods and times. So. But of course, TPM 2.0 is not yet available in many devices, but I think that's going to change in the next few months.
The one thing I would want to add on that, he's correct, that in the product group we've learned a lot about TPM 1.2 versus 2.0, and we can definitely say that the performance gains that we get in using TPM are significant over TPM 1.2. Mm. So we really, as a lesson learned and as a recommendation, anytime you can use TPM 2.0, it's a better experience overall for the TPM. It handles lockouts better, as Dimitri said, whereas 1.2, I often joke that if you look at it wrong, it'll lock out. It's very, very quick to lock out. Right. It's very much on a security. It has a lot more user friction there, and it varies between manufacturers. TPM 2.0 is a lot more mature, and it has had a few iterations to go through. So we definitely are seeing a lot more performance improvements in TPM 2.0 than we do with 1.2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Mike, Mike is speaking about speed. This is something we don't really see and we don't really look at Microsoft IT because we see their total success. Mm-hmm. So whether it takes a second for a TPM to respond or 10 seconds, this is something we don't really have too much insight. But Mike from Power Group do have that insight
because
they get that kind of feedback.
The goal for Windows Hello for Business is to have the password experience. So if I sign in with a password and I get to my desktop in 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
Now if I sign in with this really cool thing, but it takes 10 seconds, or let's say it takes 5 seconds, that's a degradation. We're degrading that user experience. So we really need to try to do performance because these are crypto operations that are being obfuscated from the user. They don't really want to know what's going on in the background, but we're talking software's going to hardware and then coming back out and all of these other things. So we really are optimizing at the millisecond level of trying to make those operations as quick as possible.
So last thing is sometimes users clear the TPM or help desk, you know, advises them to clear TPM, and that created some friction with the Windows Hello for Business credential. It would be, you know, in a state that it would be able to work. Of course, if you clear your TPM, the keys are there. So if you clear your keys, you have an issue. Mm-hmm. So that is better handled now with, we're going to see later on, that's better handled in Windows 10 Anniversary Edition update as well. We also had some PIN and certificate enrollment issues. So we need, after the prerequisites are met, you usually need at least one sign out and sign mm-hmm. in to happen. And you know, what happens is that users usually set up in your device. They do everything, you know, all the reboots required at the very beginning, or the logouts, the sign outs, and before the prerequisites are met. So after that, the user just locks a device and, you know, mm-hmm. goes home. So there's never really that sign out we need doesn't really happen sometimes. You need to wait like the last patch Tuesday to happen in order for you to reboot mm-hmm. your device, yeah. which means sign out of your device as well. So this is an issue we're having with some users that don't really sign out. So
yes, so that affects the adoption.
Correct.
Of,
that, right? That yeah, affects
more
the adoption.
So because you
correct.
Have everything ready, but that last action that's needed to trigger this workflow isn't correct. Happening.
So another thing is that before Windows 10 Anniversary Update, we also needed a specific password sign-in, which means we could not, users could not sign in with a physical or virtual smart card. That would not enable Windows Hello for Business, but right. that has also been fixed in Windows 10 Anniversary Edition mm-hmm. update, so this is not an issue anymore. Mm-hmm. We also had some problems finding prerequisites. You know, the prerequisites were not there, the TPM was not there, or the device hasn't been correctly registered with AD or hasn't been registered at all for some reason. You know, these were usually transient phenomena. That means that at some point they were fixed, but they were still, you know, driving adoption at lower levels than the ones we would like. And some other PIN and certificate delays, sometimes, you know, there would be some kind of very big, as we're going to see later, very big load on our Anda servers that, you know, would defer, let's say, the certificate enrollment for a later period. So
and then all go there at once?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. yeah. You know, Monday mornings.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Monday at 9 a.m., everybody's yes. signing in, and so okay. it gets a little bit busy.
Which means renewals, you know, new users signing in right. after their reboots or whatever. Mm-hmm. So let's see some troubleshooting we did for the issues we found. Mm-hmm. For Azure Active Directory issues, as we just said, the device might not have been registered correctly. It might not have registered. This might have been like a GPO issue because this is handled through GPO. So that might have been a GPO issue, or that might have been a case where the user just, you know, created a device but didn't have any corp connectivity mm-hmm. or any connectivity at all. You know, just got the device at home, set up the mm-hmm. device, and other cases. And this relates to the TPM clear we said before, is that there's an Azure AD certificate that has been handled to users, to devices, when the device is registered with AD. So that private key was missing sometimes, especially after TPM clear actions. Mm-hmm. So that would create, an issue. Even if the PIN was not there, the prerequisite Azure AD stuff was not there. So you could not even get a PIN if you had your TPM cleared, or there were anywhere some issues about your Azure AD private key. So this was all, again, the experience has been much better in Windows 10 Anniversary Update. So now there's a silent way to re-register your device mm-hmm. with Azure AD, and that helps really. So the user doesn't have to know that something is going wrong in the background.
So that's the advantage of doing it way so early, that we got all of that taken care of
correct.
In the anniversary update. And so all of these are what we had to go through, but not necessarily someone else would have to go through.
Correct. And the good thing with our deployment, Microsoft, these, as we said before, it's more than 100,000 users.
Yeah.
So it's a big deployment that, you know, it's really makes you understand all the issues that come up mm-hmm. That wouldn't normally come up in a small to medium-sized architecture. Mm-hmm. deployment, so this was good, yes.
We're spanning thousands of, you know, tens of thousands of different devices. We're doing laptops, we're doing desktops, we're doing phones. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, having that much deployment surface
yeah.
really exposes a lot of stuff that they give us, the product group back feedback. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think we meet weekly now, and we trade feedback, and we get that feedback, and we look at ways that we can continue to improve Windows 11 for Business.
Right.
Let's go to the PIN enrollment issues. So, yeah, if we consider that Azure AD registration is done correctly, the next step is to enroll for a PIN, right? So we had some issues there as well. For example, pre-existing, as we said before, pre-existing Azure AD issues would not let you get a PIN. Mm-hmm. So we had to fix whatever Azure AD issue was underlying, so that you could go to the PIN enrollment issues. Smart Grid sign-ins, as we said before, Windows 10 Anniversary Edition, anybody signing in with a physical or virtual Smart Grid couldn't get Hello for Business credentials. This was not enabled, so again, this was fixed later on. One of the other issues we have been seeing is unhealthy configuration manager client. So unhealthy could mean anything. Could mean a bad installation of configuration manager client. Could be that the configuration manager client cannot connect to the management point and receive the policy. It could be that the policy has come down, but for whatever reason, it's not evaluated locally, so the user cannot actually get a PIN because the prerequisites are not met. Mm-hmm. And that leads us to our next bullet, which is network or Azure AD intermittent issues or configuration manager network intermittent issues. So whatever happens intermittently in the network really doesn't help, because at that point, your client might be checking for prerequisite or might be trying to get a certificate. So anything that happens in between as a network issue would really create an issue for Hello for Business. So any kind of network issues really affect our deployment. And there's also an error list in TechNet where you can see all the errors that happen during PIN provisioning. Mm-hmm. If the PIN provisioning, you know, that full screen experience is not it's not successful, you will see a specific error, which there's a very useful page in TechNet that, you know, will show you what kind of error that is. If that's network related, you know, TPM, CSP related, whatever is a relation of that error to.
So that would be great for troubleshooting.
Correct,
essentially,
yes.
Because, like I said, you have a lot of components, and, you know, you certainly have places to go look for it.
Correct.
As well. So there's a quick question. How does the operational workflow support look like from the help desk view? That is, user doesn't remember a PIN, or user has been on extended leave and doesn't remember the PIN.
Mm-hmm.
So what would that look like?
The user experience here is, again, mm-hmm. very streamlined and very easy for the user. So the user can just go and reset his or her PIN mm-hmm. through the settings page.
Okay.
And it's very easy.
But if they can't get in, because they can't remember the
yes.
PIN.
Oh, you're saying, oh.
So you can fall back to password.
Yeah.
Yep.
There are policies, obviously, that if you have those enabled, that might prevent that. But by default, we still allow the user to fall back to password.
Right.
So they can go fall back to using their password. Mm-hmm. And once they get in, there's a I forgot me link. Mm-hmm. I forgot my PIN link on the settings page will allow you to go ahead. And basically, it'll reset you. I believe you'll do a two-factor auth or a multi-factor auth, so we prove that it is you who's resetting your PIN. Mm-hmm. And then you'll go through the provisioning flow again, and you'll just get reprovisioned.
Okay.
Yeah, and we also have other authentication methods. For example, most of our users have signed in for phone auth. Mm-hmm. So you can also do, you know, phone auth. If you want to do some kind of authentication to a website or whatever.
Right.
Continue with troubleshooting. The last part of getting a Hello for Business credential is actually getting the certificate. So, again, issues we saw with this is users logging in with a smart card, physical or virtual. Yeah. Again, that has been fixed.
Windows but that was when we did that.
Correct. That was like a year ago, a year ago, yes. Users are not corporate or VPN connected, so users might have, you know, must have line of sight to our corporate environment. Of course, now we do have internet-facing configuration manager management points, so we can use them. But before we didn't have them, so you know, users should have some kind of VPN connection or direct corporate connection. Mm-hmm. Again, intermittent network connection errors, and again, configuration management health issues, because it's again a configuration manager that actually handles the whole certificate enrollment thing mm-hmm. for
right.
the user.
Yep.
Well, if you have an unhealthy client, I mean, it's not just Passport at that point.
Correct.
Not just Windows Hello at that point in time. You know, everything else that's dependent.
Yeah, I mean, all the things that you're relying on Configuration Manager are probably not working
right.
either.
Yeah.
It's just that when you put it in the face of authentication.
Yeah.
That's the thing that everybody wants. Authentication isn't working.
Yes.
Users know that immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It surfaces up.
Yeah.
Right?
It bubbles very quickly. Yeah. I can't sign in. I can't do my work. Whereas if configuration manager is doing hardware inventory and it doesn't work,
right.
Well, the guy who's checking the hardware inventory report will know that it didn't work, but it doesn't affect the user
right.
in any way.
So let's go to, we've been talking in the last few minutes about anniversary update and what new things anniversary update gave us. Custom tasks are gone, it says here. So, but we haven't talked about
it. I can hear a sense of relief right there.
That was a big relief, actually.
Yeah.
So what happens in this case is that during the November update, when the Hello for Business first came out, there was no specific specific way of handling the question, when is my computer ready to receive Hello for Business? Have I met the prerequisites? So we had to create some custom tasks in order to trigger actually PIN enrollment and trigger certificate enrollment. This task is now gone because an anniversary update, actually in 1606 Configuration Manager, we have everything being handled by Configuration Manager. There's nothing we need to do, no custom tasks to trigger anything from our part. So these are gone. And this is why, if you go back to our architecture, you're going to see that we have now clients being required to have an anniversary update edition, so we can have all the latest goodies that Hello for Business provided, so we can have a better user experience. Again, as I said, TPM clear action is not handled gracefully. If something happens with a TPM, help desk requires you to clear your TPM or something is going wrong with the TPM and keys are gone. So this is handled much more in a much more graceful way from the Hello for Business part. So Azure AD device registration happens again in the background and everything is reinitiated for the user to get a new Hello for Business credential.
Mm-hmm.
We've mentioned that already several times.
Right.
You don't have to have only a password now in order to enable the Hello for Business workflow. You can log in however you like, including physical and virtual smart cards.
Right, so if you already have that available, it's just kind of,
correct.
Into that modality, yeah.
And to continue as much, I think Mike is more.
Yeah, so before the anniversary update, we had this notion, this is kind of going in deep inside the architecture of Winslow as it sits on the client.
Yeah.
We have, these things are called containers, they're logical. They're basically how we protect the keys.
Mm-hmm.
And before the anniversary update, we had two containers.
Mm-hmm.
One that would basically have all your consumer kind of keys. It's like your Microsoft account key. And then we had the enterprise container. Now, the problem that we faced with that, and now both of these containers are protected by the TPM, so that's why we call them containers. But the problem is that meant you had two PINs. The user feedback we got was two PINs was just crazy, lots of friction, didn't really work well. Now you go into settings and you didn't know which PIN you needed. You know, we had this concept of work PIN, and it just didn't really resonate well with end users. So in the anniversary update, we did what we called a container convergence. So we've now merged everything that was using two containers down into one container, and we have one PIN. And then all your keys are just put in there. They're still secured the same way using the TPM, but now you have one PIN, and that's the only PIN you ever have to use, whether you're going to a Microsoft account website, such as Outlook.com, or whether you're going to a SharePoint site in Office 365 with your business account. You just need to use the one PIN or the biometric, and that'll get you access to the keys to sign in.
Right, I remember that because when you set up your biometric, you know, even before the policies came down, you set up the PIN, and the next thing you get the policy, and again you're asked for the PIN at that point in time, right? And so that's the confusion that has been cleared.
Yeah, and that was that confusion was most you could see it most in bring your own device scenarios.
Right.
I mean, you'd have your computer at home, and you would set a PIN before actually. Enrolling that into Intune, right? You would set a PIN, that's a local PIN, fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would go to Intune, you know, join your device to the company, and then you would have another PIN. And then you had,
Right.
Yeah, but that was the confusing part right there,
correct.
Right? Because it's you're going, I already have a PIN, you should just use that one.
Correct.
And so So then the confusion started right at the enrollment process.
Right.
And so now it's, do I want to do this? I'm not sure what I'm doing. And then I'm sure that caused some help desk calls because they're like, I already have a PIN. Why are you asking me for another one? So, yeah. So the anniversary update is really great in that experience, is that one PIN, users like that. And then, you know, as he said, we have PIN complexity requirements. So we can make the PIN as long as we want and complex as we want. And so that way, if you're worried about the PIN, you know, and being too short or some shoulder surfing, we have mitigations against that to where it's pretty reliable to use.
Right, and plus it's device specific, right? So.
Yep. One last thing here, since we've been talking about TPM a lot, let's make clear that TPM is not a requirement if you want to set up Hello for Business, but it's strongly recommended because it just, you know, puts all your keys into a separate, you know, not logical container, I was just said, but a physical container that's separate, and that really enhances your security. So here at Microsoft IT, we require TPMs for Hello for Business. We opted to require TPMs, so we do not give Hello for Business credentials to any device that does not have a TPM.
Mm-hmm. So that's part of our prerequisite.
Correct. Right, it's part of our prerequisite.
Yeah, it's actual policy setting that we have. It's called hardware required.
Yeah.
And so basically, MSIT, they check that box, and then so that's part of the prerequisite check is that before the user even sees this provisioning page, we're going to check to see if you have a TPM, and if you don't, then you never get interrupted
right.
with that page.
So some additional resources we have included here. There are some very good documents you can go to, Microsoft documents you can use. So we have our own Windows Hello for Business case, implementing strong user authentication with Hello for Business. A Windows TPM, enabling Windows 10 VPN, with Windows Hello for Business. That's how we actually enabled Windows 10 VPN. Mm-hmm. At Microsoft IT, after Windows Hello for Business was rolled out, users could use that credential to securely log in to their VPN connections.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying you've kind of documented everything that you just said right now, and people can just go
yes.
look at online?
Yep. Yeah. With much more detail than we discussed now.
Right.
So there's papers that people can go and check how we did it at Microsoft IT. And of course, then we have the product group documentation at TechNet, we have Microsoft Passport Guide. So just to say it again, Windows Hello for Business used to be called Microsoft Passport
right.
and Microsoft Passport for Work. So whenever you see that Microsoft Passport or Passport for Work, it's actually the previous name of Windows Hello for Business. So mm-hmm. that's why there's the Microsoft Passport Guide here.
Mm-hmm.
And the new version of it, additional version of it is that Manage Identity Verification Unit using Windows Hello for Business document, which also has the newest information about the anniversary update and all the updates we did with Configuration Manager 1606. And a very important document is the last one, which actually details a deployment mm-hmm. for Windows Hello for Business on the parts that are more, you know, difficult and kind of cumbersome to deploy, which is Configuration Manager, NDES, and CRP components.
It's like the step-by-step.
Yeah, it's like a step-by-step guide for these specific ones, and we have, of course, users can also, administrators can also find resources on how you actually set up certification authority
yeah. mm-hmm.
and how do you set up the certificate templates needed for the specific certificate.
All right, that's a lot of good resources as well. And thank you very much. But we will start taking questions. We have a few questions, in fact. But before we go into the questions, I do want to let everyone know who is on the call with us that we're going to post one more Pulse question for you. It's a feedback question. We really want to hear from you. So we'll just give them a moment to take that pulse, and we will take the questions right here. So let's see. I'm going to go with the question that I'm seeing last over here, all right? So, let's see. I hope it's not a continuation. Okay. Seems like TPM is required for Windows Hello. Is this correct? That's just
no.
our prerequisite.
No, yeah. It's not required.
The thing there is that it's we could actually kind of say it is, but it's not physically required. If you wanted to deploy Windows Hello without a TPM, you can. But there are security concerns with that. The TPM, as I mentioned earlier before in our talk, we have this thing called replay.
Yeah.
A password's replayable. If I know your password, I can replay it on another machine.
Yeah.
Windows Hello, the key if I can take that key and move it to another machine, I can replay that key. Yeah. The TPM is critical in making sure that I can't move whatever that credential, that key, from one computer to the next. So if you don't have a TPM, we'll create a key, but that key will just reside in software and it's not protected by anything. So, you know, technically you could move that key. So that is the reason why we really push for having the TPM, but we understand that enterprises and their supply chain as far as where they buy their hardware, when they buy hardware, it may be a slow move there. So you need to have a way to where, be able to where you can target those with or without TPM.
So a question here is, can you drive a car without airbags? Of course you can, but do you want to? Probably not.
Oh, so I'm not sure about that. But well, you know, but it goes back to where you started, where you said, mm-hmm. what were we mitigating?
Right? Yeah.
And we were mitigating, so it's a combination of all of that.
So it really enhances security, and Windows Hello for Business is all about security. So we'd strongly recommend TPM.
Coming from Demetrius, who lives and breathes in that particular team, he's like, yeah, that's the way to go.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it doesn't make sense. You can bypass the TPM requirement in the sense that you may not want to enable it, mm-hmm. but considering what Mike said, I don't think you'd want to. It would be the last resort.
Yeah.
If you do want to enable it for a lot of devices that don't have a TPM currently,
mm-hmm.
but maybe it's a better idea to leave some devices out, you know, and have the.
You know, that's a good point. I mean, we also did it in phases, right? I mean, as much as we did this in a broad deployment, we actually did it in phases. And we learned a lot as we were doing that, right?
Correct.
Because our deployment of Windows 10 was also in phases over multiple weeks. Mm-hmm. And so small groups were getting, and we were getting a lot of feedback coming back from them as well. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have a few more questions. So let's see. Let's start with, can I roll out Hello for Business if I don't have a pre-existing PKI? Did we kind of, yes, answer the question somewhere earlier?
So a PKI in Windows Hello for Business is required.
Yeah.
We didn't really touch into too many of the deployment models and so forth like that. We have a minimalistic PKI model, or what we call key trust model, where you still need a PKI. And the reason why is you need to issue the domain controllers
mm-hmm.
certificates so that when you're talking to a domain controller, when a Windows 10 client communicates with a domain controller,
mm-hmm.
it needs to know that this is a legitimate domain controller, not a rogue one.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you do that is you have to have a root of trust. You need a root of trust. And so the certificate that is deployed to the domain controller serves as that root of trust. The enterprise trusts that certificate, and so therefore when your Windows 10 client is sending authentication information to a domain controller, you want to make sure it's a legitimate domain controller rather than somebody set up a rogue domain controller and now they're redirecting authentication data to a domain controller that's not part of the business. So we have a lightweight version of that to where the clients themselves do not need certificates. So you just, and the great thing about domain controllers is if they see an enterprise certificate authority, they just get a certificate automatically.
Right.
So it's pretty lightweight, but we still always require a PKI. Just, we don't necessarily require you to issue certificates to your clients.
All right, so here's a slightly long question, so let's see. We've been trying to implement Hello for Business, but without success. We have Azure AD, have the GPO to register domain join PCs, and GPO for Hello for Business pin settings. We're not using ADFS or Config Manager. Can you provide any assistance or links to tutorials that helps implement without Configuration Manager? We have 2016 DCs in our environment.
So the question there would be, what's missing for me there is whether they have Azure Active Directory.
It says, yes, we have Azure AD.
Okay.
But they don't have configuration.
Yeah. So if they have 2016 domain controllers, they can deploy a hybrid version of Windows Hello for Business. It doesn't require certificate issuance, which is where you need the configuration manager.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a very open-ended question to try to answer here, but
okay.
It will work, but you do need to have 2016 domain controllers.
Mm-hmm.
That is an absolute requirement, because what will happen is you'll generate a key,
mm-hmm.
and then that key will be used to authenticate rather than a certificate mm-hmm. to the on-prem domain. And the only one that knows how to do that form of authentication is a 2016 domain controller.
Okay.
The other thing is that would potentially be something to check on, which links back to what Dimitri said, is I didn't hear anything about device registration. So I don't think I heard it.
We do have GPO to register domain join PCs.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, they do.
Oh,
yeah. So I would start with the device registration log and make sure that your device is actually being registered. Mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest one that will stop you from seeing the hello provisioning.
Okay. So I guess in our case, the best is when we had all of those components together. But there, you know, if you don't have one piece or the other, it will, but certainly it's going to be.
And also make sure that the client operating system is at least Windows 1511, Windows 10, 1511, which would be the November update.
Yeah.
And 0.17 version specifically onwards. Mm-hmm. That, you know, there might be some devices that are not up to this level at this point. So I need to check this one as well, and then all the prerequisites.
Right. Okay. So here's another question. What challenges did we see with users adopting a new method of login? Was it just too excited? A lot of people excited? Like, there's something different.
This has to do a lot with communication. I mean, how do you communicate the message that now you have a new credential?
Yeah.
Because if you don't say anything and users just get a users sign in to a new device or an existing device, and then they get a full screen window saying, now you have to set up your PIN. So the user will say, what is this PIN? Who is this telling me that?
Right.
Do I need to do that? Is that some kind of malicious window, whatever? So we did initial communication that users now are going to receive a new credential. So if you see that, it's a new credential we're rolling out.
Mm-hmm.
So the response has been great. I think from the communication part, it helped.
Mm-hmm.
But again, users, of course, are always, you know, seeing something new. They, you know, step back a little bit and say, well, what is this thing?
Right.
So I would say from the deployment part, there was not too many issues.
Mm-hmm.
It was mostly for educating users that this is your, and educating them that's your credential and that why it's better than the ones we already had.
Right. And I think, like as you said, communication is also the user experience that's improved over a period of time. So now it's not just waiting for a certain condition to happen before it triggers. But the workflow has always been just two prompts, simple.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think I think once you can get them over that education hurdle, and then they get the experience of signing in with their face or a fingerprint, then they're hooked.
Yeah.
Then they're hooked for life. I mean, I talk to customers about this, they love the idea of sitting in front of their laptop and then just signing in with their face.
Mm-hmm.
When I go home, my wife has a Microsoft account that uses Windows Hello. She sits down at her Surface Book and she just looks at it and it signs her in. She loves that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think consumers and our IT workers, I mean, everybody at Microsoft loves the biometric experience.
Right. Well, once you get past these,
it's the education part that is, you just got to make sure they understand it is a legit thing and it is real.
All right. So we're almost out of time. And let's see if we can take one quick question, which I think you've answered this already, but we'll take it. What Windows client versions are supported for Hello for Business?
Yeah, so the minimum version is Windows 10 November edition,
mm-hmm.
specifically 10.586.17
mm-hmm.
onwards. This, however, means that if you're going to use November update editions, you will need what we said before, some custom tasks
mm-hmm.
in order for these clients to trigger PIN enrollment. So even though Windows Hello for Business is really supporting those operating system versions, we'd strongly recommend Windows 10 anniversary update.
All right. So with that, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I mean, it's like a year of data download, clearly, and maybe much more than that for you, Mike. But thank you so much. Thank you for joining us online. You can find this webinar, again, it will be available on demand in a few weeks on Microsoft.com/IT Showcase. There are also other webinars that we do, in fact, very frequently. So please go, again, back to Microsoft.com IT Showcase. Check for what's coming up next, what we already have. So thank you again.
Thank you.
And have a great day.